I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
The only thing that we would hang banners for that we put up around this building is world championships.
BTS. BTA.
And, you know, the message is clear. You know, we just had to play better.
Everybody wants to take a chip and dip it in that salsa, you know what I'm saying?
You know, people had us as a really good team, but I don't think they really understand how good we can really be.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis. Packers Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast. We're on Packers Podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello, hello.
And the Green Bay Packers win. Once again, they are 3-2-1, winning 18-27 against the Cincinnati Bengals at Lambeau Field. It was a lot of fun and not annoying at all, right? Right? We all had fun watching that game start to finish.
Never a doubt.
Mm-hmm, never a doubt. The Brewers have moved on to the, what is it, the NLCS or whatever, the championship. The Badgers are shitty. You see how bad the Badgers are?
You know the best part of the Badgers season this year? Was when Gruden came and hyped him up at practice before the season started.
I forgot that that happened. Yeah, that might have been the highlight. So, I don't know. Sports are good and bad right now. It looks like the Brewers are going to lose their second game against the Dodgers right now, but you don't come here for that. You come here for the Packers, and we have some pretty substantial Packers news that happened this week after the games on Sunday. Did you see this?
What is it?
Za'Darius Smith retired.
Oh.
a long rival.
He's been on his couch all year?
No, he didn't play the first week of the season because he's a vested veteran, so if you're on a roster, your whole contract's guaranteed if you're on the roster week one. So he didn't. Okay. So no one wanted to sign him week one because then you'd have to pay him that full salary. And it's Za'Darius Smith. You can't count on him. He signed with the Eagles going into week two. And then after this week on Monday, he retired from the NFL midseason with the Eagles. So
that's awesome.
What a fun little career from him. He was with the Ravens. I think he left them on decent terms, came to the Packers. We hated him when he left with making up the back injury or whatever the hell happened there. He went to the Vikings, had one good year and demanded a trade. So they traded him to Cleveland. He was with Cleveland for a bit, and then he got traded to the Lions. Then he eventually got cut by the Lions or whatever and then signed on with the Eagles, and now his career is over. But a total piece of shit. Such a bummer that he's out of the league. Now, he did have one sack for the Eagles, too, in his short time with them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so very happy for Z.
He, for as shitty as he is, he was, like, it never looked like he was completely over the hill. For as much as, like, I get, he was a ghost for the Vikings the last, all of December that year.
Yes.
When he had, like, the sacks early on, but I don't know. I feel like he's one of those guys, too, that, like, he played around the league enough, like, enough people know him, that in a couple years, when those guys are then, like, all the guy, like, when Myles Garrett's out of the league, right, he's going to say something about, like, how, maybe not Myles Garrett, this might be a bad example, but, like, guys are going to talk about how shitty Za'Darius was in the locker room, be like, that guy freaking sucked.
Maybe.
Don't you feel like that? Like, he just, like, he's a problem
maybe,
in the locker room.
I mean, he clearly turned into a hired gun with the way he bounced around, but he's still a talented player. I mean, like you said, too, but clearly a guy who doesn't love football. He loved what football brought him in life. You know, he's, I don't know if you know this, he likes buying jewelry with his money. Some other extravagant things. So I think that's what he valued a little bit more than playing football. But yeah, shout out to Za'Darius Smith. We hardly knew you. He had two really good years for us.
Yeah.
But he was a fake person. But with that, the Packer game this week, you know, we'll talk offense, defense, take news. We're going to talk about the offense and what we're doing. It's popped up a lot in the last week or two, but especially now we're talking about, should we be targeting our real playmakers, i.e. Josh Jacobs, Matthew Golden, and Tucker Kraft. We will have Stump Spending, Packers Trivia, and then we will preview the Cardinals game. But first, Todd, I mean, again, what was the score, 18-27? What was your big thought leaving that game?
I don't know. Like, this is, I feel like my big thought was just kind of like boring, and there's definitely more fun takes. But I'm just going to be honest. My thought was that if we can generate any kind of interior pass rush, or I guess anything from the D-line, we're in good shape. Like, anytime we do, things are fine. Likewise, when the offensive line can put it together for just a few seconds, good things happen. So it's just like, and this is, again, this is the most boring take in the world, but like, go back and watch any of the highlights, and like, on offense, the offensive line is just doing their, it's nothing amazing. They're just opening up a small hole for, you know, Josh Jacobs to run, or blocking just long enough for Love to throw the ball. Like, that's all that we have to do to make plays. And then on defense, any pass rush, and we were, you know, forcing, you know, what was there? There was only a couple sacks, but either way, like, the majority of the game, the reason that the Bengals were able to move the ball at all in the second half was because it was no pass rush. Like, there was nothing. And it was just like, I don't know. That, those are my two takeaways, I guess.
It was one sack. The only sack that we had in that game was Lucas Van Ness, which he did hurt his foot on that play. And for those who didn't hear, so he got carted off. But it sounds like it isn't going to be anything long term. He didn't break a bone. And then Matt LaFleur said it isn't anything catastrophic. So that usually means he's not going to go on the IR. So that's a good thing. The other thing that Matt brought up, which we kind of touched on a bit last week too, is teams and Joe Flacco just know to throw the ball as quick as possible when they go up against us. Because it was Flacco, then Dak, then Flacco. LaFleur talked about it at his availability on Monday, that they clocked it that Flacco was getting the ball out at like an average of 2 seconds. When in the NFL you shoot for 2.5 seconds, like, that's good. And he was even beating that, so it was tough. Also, there's been some stuff with Parsons getting held probably a couple times. I don't want to sound like a bitch, but there's been
it
a couple
is wild.
Egregious ones. There's some type of argument that, I forget what it is, but you're allowed to hold a certain type of way legally in the NFL if, like, you sideswipe. I don't know. John Meerding talked about it on Blue 58, and I'm like, I'm not going to listen to rule bullshit, but...
That does seem dumb.
There's reasoning with some of this, but for me, my big thought leaving this game was, and I've settled down a bit because I was more upset, but it kind of reminded me of the no-flow game against the Bills in 2018, where Rodgers said after the game that there was, like, no flow, and he was kind of getting on Mike McCarthy's game planning, or play calling, I should say, that there was no flow with how things led into another. Now, it wasn't that bad. But, like, going back and watching the game again, it's like, do you know what the score was entering the fourth quarter?
Was it, like, 18-20?
No. 24? No, it was 10-7. We did score on the very first play of the fourth quarter, so it was then 17-7. But either way, it's just, that was kind of... You know, because afterwards it's like you look at the score and you see the stats and you're like, why did I feel so bad about the game and what was going on? And it's like, oh, because for 3/4 of it, there was nothing really going on offense. Obviously, Jordan Love had that pick, but I've settled down a bit again. I still feel pretty fine about the offense. It's just this defense in the second half and maybe wanting to target our elite pass catchers a little bit more. And there's a couple weird stats with this, too, and maybe some of this is more optimistic and some of this is like, hey, what the hell's going on? Like, one thing, The Packers, there hasn't been a punt in the second half of their last two games, both the opposing team and the Packers. Like, that's pretty crazy. It just shows you how bad our defense has been, but how good our offense has been. Right, and, you know, for how much we're feeling kind of weird about this team, the Packers are currently in Vegas, the number one odds getter to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, above the Lions and above the Eagles after they lost. We currently are the number two seed in the NFC, which, again, is pretty surprising just, you know, with the way the season has felt so far. We're also the only team in the NFL to have led in every single game by double digits. So it's like there's a lot of weird feelings with this team right now. But at the same time, you look around the league and it's like no one's good. So I feel better.
It does feel like that.
Yeah, I feel better about where this team's at right now because it's like we're still ramping up. But you look around and it's like, well, fuck. I mean, who are you afraid of in the NFC? Maybe the Bucks. Maybe the
that's
Eagles.
That's exactly
still?
Like, that's what I was going to say is I'm not even that. The Eagles, because of their roster, but the way that they play, like I did catch. Who did they play this last week? The Giants game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Caught the Giants game. And it's just like, who was this? Right? Like if that was the Packers, I'd have been like, we'd be having a very different conversation right now. It would be doom and gloom.
And you know who really performed well in that game?
Scataboo.
AJ Dillon, who has our exit audio, had that terrible kick return where he muffed it, and then that following drive he fumbled. Just I'm like, I don't want to root for someone's failure, but it did make me feel.
How does he survive on that roster then? Like two bad plays like that. It's like guys get cut for less.
I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't make it through the entire year because they have Will Shipley and they did trade for Tank Bigsby. So they have a couple guys. But I think especially with the amount of carries Saquon had last year, you want to have a bunch of bodies. And A.J. Dillon has a big body, so maybe he could eat up some carries. But, I mean, I don't know. We'll see how he loves getting a bunch of big names on his roster. And A.J. Dillon, although he's not a great player, he has some type of name recognition in the league. So, but, yeah, I don't know. Either way, again, we might have felt bad leaving that game, but you look around the league and it's tough not to feel better about the team when you just look beyond what's closest to you. So jumping into it, offense, of course. Again, I mean, entering the fourth quarter, we only had 10 points. Jordan Love, this was so the dad tax thing is catching on a bit. We did have one comment. It was from I'll get to it at the end, but it was from our buddy in Hobart, and he said, "Did anyone else scream dad tax at the TV?" When
of course,
and I also got a text from a couple buddies saying the same thing. Oh, there's the dad tax. But again, Jordan Love, the dad tax popped up on that first drive. But other than that, a pretty solid game. I mean, even the play that he threw the pick on was kind of impressive. Just the way he got out of the pocket, you would have liked for him to just throw the ball away. But it was, I would say, by far Jordan Love's best game ever from his feet. The way he moved around the pocket and the way he got yards after. I mean, he picked up a couple third downs. There was that big throw to Matthew Golden where he rolled to the left and threw it deep. You know, we'd like to see a little bit more of that. He had the really bad throw to Luke Musgrave, which he was asked about post-game. I was getting ready to hear that maybe Musgrave ran the wrong route. He did not blame Luke, so it sounds like that was just a bad ball, but
it's a really bad ball.
Really bad ball. It's one of those where if there was a defender back there and it got picked, it would be up there with one of Jordan Love's worst INTs, which is saying something.
Which is impressive.
But Todd, what were your thoughts on Jordan Love in this game?
I mean, I also found myself a couple different times being impressed by the way he was moving and making plays and scrambling for first downs.
Slippery. He was slippery.
He was slippery, and usually what happens in those is he gets really slippery, and then the ball gets slippery, and he drops it. But that didn't happen today, or at the game. But I don't know. I just feel like he played really well aside from the one bad play. And it's like, you know, you sit there and you look at it, and it's like, yeah, it was a really bad play. But like we've talked about in the past, it's the dad tax. It's like he just is going to have one. And then, like, what was it? How many plays later did he turn around and he drops that diamond to Golden? And you're like, hey, like, there it is. Like, that's Jordan Love. Like, he can do it all. And he can also, like, make the biggest mistakes and end your NFC Championship game with one quick throw.
He can literally do it all from both ends of the spectrum. Yes. Really good, really good, really bad, really bad.
It definitely was like a very Jordan Love game. Like he was on showcase, like the bad and the good.
But again, just his movement in the pocket, like the first drive too, he moved up well and found Romeo Doubs deep on a third down. The one to Josh Jacobs too, where he was backed up in the pocket and then he just ran forward and then flipped it up to Josh Jacobs, who had a big catch and run after that. But yeah, I don't know. He's fun to watch. It's a different type of quarterback play than what we're used to. And it's nice to finally see a healthy version of him, which we obviously didn't have really much of at all last year. I mean, he's like the best. He's like top five in just about any category in the NFL right now for quarterbacks, top 10 for sure. And he's like the best third down quarterback in the league and has been pretty much all year. Like yeah. He goes Super Saiyan or on fire or whatever and fucking NBA Jam on third downs. It's like I almost look forward to them now. Like third and longs, it's kind of like when this is funny. It's kind of like when Joe Barry was our defensive coordinator, where you felt worse about third and longs than third and shorts. It's like yeah. I feel better about third and longs than third and shorts with this offense right now. So can't complain.
When you're in the red zone, you know, first and goal from the 10 and you're like, fuck, this is like a tough place to be. And then you get a holding call and now it's, you know, you're on the 15 and then you got, you know, 15 to go and it's like, oh, now we got a little bit of field to stretch them out right. And like you throw a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
But I did like the reference to it being on fire. Made me think of NFL Blitz.
Mm.
If you sack the quarterback twice.
And then you just jump on the quarterback after the play.
You can always just jump on the quarterback after the play and anybody. And then, or if you threw to the same receiver like three times in a row, then you would be on fire and like the defenders would jump on your back and you would drag them into the end zone.
I was more of a NFL Street fellow. NFL Street okay. 2 was a big one for me where you'd build up and then use it and then you just fucking run over guys.
You could like control it? Gotcha.
That was fun because it was like Chad Clifton and Amon Green, I think. Like a couple times on defense too, like Chad Clifton or someone gets a pick. I don't know what I'm talking about here. Speaking of Chad Clifton, Billy did win the fat fuck draft last week, according to Twitter. We had so many votes. Yeah, I'll double check at the end, but I'm pretty sure he was the one that won. He was
Dayton's head.
Yeah, that might have been a little. You had a very strong draft. Your guys's both of your teams looked better on paper than mine. Mine was obviously more well thought out and, you know, Cub Buck, like who would have thought of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, so good. Wow.
Especially the picture of like Mike McCarthy that I had in it where he's like got kind of a derp face going on. It's like, oh, well, that's a big winner right there too.
That is a good one. Yeah, you have to pick the right pictures and obviously you pick the pictures, so.
Yeah, well, it shows you that I'm unbiased. I just picked the best pictures for everyone. Howard Green also did not have a lot of pictures, so I had to use the one of him hitting Ben Roethlisberger. But moving on, receivers. The Matthew Golden game finished with 3 receptions, 86 yards. He also had 2 runs for 16 yards. Still no touchdowns, but man, you can just tell. You know, we like to say things like, oh man, this guy's really good. Oh, this guy's really improving. Oh, did you see this play from him? And Matthew Golden, it's just like when he gets the ball in his hands or the ball gets thrown his way, he always has some type of wow moment with it. Like just his hands, his sure hands where he just plops him out there at the last second, you know, those late hands that Devontae would always have on the sideline. Like we saw that a couple times. He had that catch and run over the middle where he just stomped his foot in the ground and then ran around that like defensive tackle that dropped back into coverage. That looked kind of like Josh Jacobs when he has one of his hard jukes. But yeah, the adjustment on third down was impressive too. Did you see that? The one that kind of clinched it where from Jordan Love where he broke out to the left and then threw it to him. Matthew Golden, his route, he was supposed to run more of a post and run deeper, but after he saw Jordan kind of scrambling a bit, he cut it off, ran straight to the sideline, and that was, you know, the biggest difference in the game.
I think you can kind of see Love, too, kind of like a mini pump. Like, he's looking at Golden. Golden sees him, like, cock his arm a little bit, and then he, like, flattens it out immediately, and then he slings it in there. It's like the backyard football is so fun to watch.
And those are the little things that I feel like we've been missing a lot from this team over the last few years with these younger receivers. And it's like, this guy just came in a lot more refined than what we've had, you know, with these other guys. Romeo Doubs, Solid game two, 5 receptions, 55 yards on 9 targets, which we'll talk about later. I mean, I still like Romeo, but there was a couple, you know, like that one screen pass to him where it got blown up like immediately. That was less than ideal. Yeah. Dontavian Wicks finished 2 for 15. One of them was for a first down, so that was nice. Bo Melton did get into the game once again. I think this was his second snap on offense all year, maybe second or third. The one run for 3 yards. Savion also had 1 for 3. Yeah, those were the receivers. What did you think? Again, I mean, Matthew Golden, you know, we talked about him all of training camp, and it's nice to finally see him have some production on Sunday.
It is wild to see Matthew Golden kind of just like perform as advertised, if not better. Especially for rookies, like as we've seen over the years in Packers offenses, the rookies just never do anything. They rarely get the chance to do anything in their defense. But it's really fun to see Golden, like, just, I mean, the offense just kind of like when it needs to runs through him, which is really fun to see. And like the big plays are only going to get bigger. I still would like to just see him catch one. Like I almost like him running like the Jordy post. Like I just need it. I need that. So I don't know. And that speed is always evident, which is fun to see.
We've been close on those deep bombs. I mean, again, back-to-back weeks.
He stepped out on that one.
Back-to-back weeks, he should have had 96-yard touchdowns. And then 2 weeks in a row, you know, already talked about it a couple times, with a third down catch, which was huge. And then the previous week against the Cowboys, he had that fourth down catch as well. So sure hands, and obviously Jordan Love already trust him. Tight ends, not a ton to talk about, but we got to talk about our sweet baby boy. Tucker Kraft, the 2 receptions for, what do you have, 43 yards, the long of 24, also the touchdown. I mean, it's just, it takes something for the first guy to bring him down. Even watching that touchdown, he jumped from like the 4-yard line and still made it in, like, just no care in the world for his own personal health. Like, he's going to score, especially the previous week against the Cowboys, where twice he ended up on like the 1/2-yard line. So it's like he wasn't going to be stopped on this one. I like the touchdown celebration too. Did you see the little jumping starfish that he did with like all of the offensive linemen?
I did not see that. What?
Oh, really?
What
That's
was
been
it?
Like the
it
number
was a
one
starfish.
He jumps up and they do this with their arms out and then they bump like chest.
Patrick?
Yeah, pretty much. But they bump chest in the air and then they put their arms out. It's very silly. I'm surprised you didn't see it.
It sounds really dumb, if I'm being honest.
It is dumb.
Which is fun.
Dumb, yes. Dumb celebrations are fun. Who could forget? I did on Josh Jacobs' first run, so Elton Jenkins was mic'd up this week. It's a really good mic'd up. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. The Packers put it out. But I think Tucker Kraft and Romeo Doubs do the I Love Gold celebration, and Nathaniel Hackett is back in the building, and they have mentioned it. Steno has mentioned the gold zone, so it's still the gold zone in Green Bay.
Was Kraft around? Was he a rookie for one of the gold? No.
No.
He was not around. Okay.
Even Romeo, I don't remember. It was close around that time, but because it was just the 1 year he was there, and then he got
fired. So it's just Love.
I'm trying to remember if Watson and Doubs were still there that last year with Hackett, but I'm not sure.
Maybe Watson.
Yeah. But either way, tight ends. Luke Musgrave, he had the one catch. Who gives a shit? Fitzpatrick, he didn't have anything. Not much to talk about. Tucker Kraft needs to get the ball more. Again, I've said this before. I said it last year, too. The only argument I can hear for it is they're saving him because they know he's a ramrod and he could potentially get hurt with the way he plays, and they want to save him for the playoffs. But it's like 2 targets is not enough for a game changer like Tucker Kraft in this offense.
Yeah, I don't know. I obviously love seeing him get the ball. It seems like he is the dude on screens, which I think is really fun. And then who can forget the tuck push? Tucker sneak. Do we have a name for it? I feel like we had a name for it.
We might have, but none of them have been great.
Yep. Nope. We'll have to figure that out later.
And you're talking the screens. He didn't have any of those in this game, but even just like the 2-yard Richard Rodgers out. I just want that because he always breaks the first tackle and it's like a guaranteed 5 yards at least. Running back, we have a running game again for a full game, it seemed like. Josh Jacobs, 18 yards or 18 carries, 93 yards, an average of 5.2. He had the two touchdowns, and in the receiving game, he had five receptions for 57 yards, the long of 29. Just a good all-around game, and I don't know if you saw this, but it was his flu game. He was throwing up before, during, and after.
I was
going to
say flu game.
I was trying to come up with SVP again, like from last year, shit, vomit, piss, but I couldn't find any shit or piss to talk about. Don't you remember that, Todd, last year?
No, of course I remember, yeah. SVP.
So, vomited before the game, after, and they talked about this too. He was born in 97, so he wasn't even alive for Michael Jordan's flu game, which makes even me feel old that I was born in 92 and the starting running back was born in 97. I'm like, ew.
It is weird seeing the players then, like, you can't like assimilate with them because they're just like, they're too young, and you're like, I don't understand the Patrick Starr celebration.
Hey, we were around for SpongeBob. I remember watching the first ever episode of SpongeBob when it premiered. So we're not. Wow. Well, maybe that's dating me right there, actually, even.
That is.
But yeah, Josh Jacobs, again, finally getting some more room to run, too. I mean, the offensive line seemed to get better as the game went on. But when Josh Jacobs gets the ball beyond the line of scrimmage is when he's really special. That's when he's running guys over in the open field or just juking guys out of their feet. So it's nice, especially after having no room to run earlier this year, and now we're using him more and more in the pass game too. And then with the running backs, I mean, the other thing to mention, how, you know, at the beginning of the year, Emmanuel Wilson barely played, and now it's been Chris Brooks. We've barely seen him out there too. Even early on in this game where we weren't pass blocking well, it was Emmanuel Wilson out there on third downs, which was just a little bit questionable because it's like, come on, use your guy that can actually block. Wilson played 11 snaps, Brooks played 5. So not talking about a ton of snaps here, but just something. But Todd, Josh Jacobs, other running backs.
It does definitely feel like this is Chris Brooks. This is his outro. When Marshawn Lloyd comes back, I mean, someone's got to go, right? And so this is probably that's what this means, right? Like, 5 snaps is all he got. I don't know. Feels like it's on his way out. And his one carry was like, was that a read option?
Oh God, I don't even remember in this game.
I'm trying to remember what it was. Anyways,
the one for one.
It was nothing.
Probably something like that.
But yeah, no, Josh Jacobs, like, sometimes when I'm watching Josh now, I'm like, is he like losing a step? And then I'm like, oh wait, no, the line can't block. Yeah. So that's the problem. Cause then you see him get into the second level and it's like, ah, there it is. Like, he hasn't lost a step. He still got it. And it's fun to watch him, like, especially like the stiff arms too are just like, what was that one where on the right hash and he just stiff armed the guy like all the way out of bounds. Like, they just ran together.
I was wondering, it was scary. I was like, is he going to get a face mask on this one? Because he was awfully high on that one. But it was clean enough. But yeah, he manhandles guys one way or another just about every single week.
Didn't he say something too before the game about, like, last time I felt like shit before the game, I had 2 touchdowns, 130 yards? It's like,
He told a fan before the game, because he got picked up on a mic'd up thing, he was going to go for 120 and 2 touchdowns, and he had even more. He had 150 in all scrimmage yards. Yeah. Yep, there you go. Sticking with that a little bit, the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line did not look great to start. But get this, the first game all year where all of the offensive linemen who started finished the game got better as the game went on.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Something else that was crazy, Jordan Morgan started at right guard, and he practiced at right guard all week. They didn't have him play other positions, and what do you know? He kind of won the right guard spot. The first 2 drives, they rotated him and Sean Ryan.
Right.
And then after that, it was Jordan Morgan the rest of the way, so curious what we'll see here on out, but I'm fine with keep guys where they're at, and it worked in this game.
If this is a calculated approach to just getting some of these younger guys and guys that are new to the team to kind of just like figure out these different positions, if it's calculated, I think it's not the worst thing in the world at the beginning of the season. I don't love it, but it could be worse. If it's not calculated, it just kind of feels like they don't know what they're doing. And
right.
I just lean towards the latter of, like, it feels like we look like we don't know what we're doing when we're like swapping guards. Who else, does anyone else swap guards every series or every drive? Like, I don't
rotating. You're saying,
yeah, that's. It's just, I mean, like, not even like game to game. Just like, who rotates linemen? Like, that's
right.
Continuity is like the most important thing, and I feel like everybody across the league knows that. It's not a secret. And then, I don't know. We would look really dumb if Jordan Love got hurt on like a miscommunication, A-gap, mug blitz, and like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, Sean Ryan had been left guard all week and we swapped him just for funsies and oops, Love got hurt. So it's like, I don't know, stuff like that where it's like, it's not the preseason. Like, you have all training camp to figure it out. Let's put our best guys out there. I get that people progress as the season goes on, but it just feels like we don't really know what we're doing.
Yeah, just stick with this the rest of the year. We'll see what if you have to do anything with Belton when he's healthy. Maybe it's just the swing tackle. That'd be nice. You got Kennard there too. And then Sean Ryan, just have him be the backup center and guard. Maybe that's what it just ends up being. And again, Jordan Morgan, one of his better games as a pro. I mean, he bullied TJ Slayton on that first Josh Jacobs touchdown.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Elton Jenkins seemed to play better too. I mean, again, the second half, they were just so much better than the first half. The first half, like, the Bengals got pressure and flushed Love out of the pocket on a three-man rush. Like, that was embarrassing. Bad. And then the big question too, because I was hoping, I was hoping he wouldn't play. Zach Tom played in this game, and did you hear the comments that he had afterwards?
No.
So, played all the snaps. Rob Domofsky, Jason Wilde were talking to him after the game, just, you know, asking how it went, blah, blah, blah. He said he couldn't remember any of the plays when he can usually remember, like afterwards, like after the game is over. Like, he had no real memory of the game because he was in so much pain. They asked him, like, to grade it out of, you know, 1 through 10. He said, I'm not gonna do that. They asked him, do you think it was a smart idea to play? He's like, I'm not gonna answer that either. So it's just, I don't know exactly how an oblique works, but maybe you should have just had him sit out another game to heal up a little bit more, because now it's like,
yeah,
we got 12 straight games in the playoffs, and that's what I was talking about, where it's like, give him as much time now, because it's not about winning right now, it's about having your best team in the playoffs. And if he's going to be playing every week here on out, I don't anticipate the side of his body getting that much better.
I do imagine, like, it's an oblique, right? So it's a core. So every, it's like if you throw out your back, everything hurts. You take a deep breath, it hurts. You roll over in bed and it hurts. I imagine, like, if you tear your oblique or whatever happened, that it's probably like when you throw your back out. So, God, that sounds horrible. I hope he had like a cortisone shot or something.
I assume as much. I mean, he was limited in practice all week. And then in that Elton Jenkins mic'd up video too, Elton at one point after a touchdown on the run on the sideline, he says to Zach Tom, he's like, you're running like an old man. And it's like, oh, I wonder why that was happening.
And my muscles don't work.
Yeah. So that's the offense. Todd, anything else on the offense that we might have missed there? Jordan Love, should he have slid on that one?
It's like one of those things where, like, hindsight 2020, but
yeah.
for the risks that he already takes, just go for it.
I thought you were gonna say the opposite, and like, for the risks you already take, just be a little safe.
I'm just saying, like, if you're gonna be a risky runner, which he sometimes is, just go for that one. Like, if we're gonna go for some, that's one where, like, that's a limited risk. Like, you're not actually risking anything there.
He wasn't super close to anyone. He maybe could have, like, dove forward and just gotten
that's what
first
I would
down.
Yeah, you do the dumb dive forward, and like, he's about as graceful as like a baby deer, so like, it's never gonna look good, but like, just get that first down.
He might have like multiple knees in his legs. Like, he has an extra knee on each leg that bends, and that's why it's a little elongated and weird at times. Maybe that's what it is. Have we talked about that possibility yet?
I think maybe his nerves don't always connect to his brain, like the leg nerves.
Like,
they just
too.
Like, sometimes they get interrupted.
The ping is that what it is? The ping is off a little bit, the computer speed.
Yeah it's like the packet loss. He like just doesn't like the information's getting lost in translation.
Yeah, so I don't know, maybe that'll improve, but again, best day from him with his legs. Offense.
It is funny to think, like, we're making fun of how Jordan Love moves.
Oh, God.
And, like, I'd be dead. I'd get hit once and be dead.
You know what? If I got hit, my limbs would fall apart, but I might be able to slide better than him. His slides are pretty ugly.
That's fair. Yeah. I would slide a lot, so I would get really good at it.
Yeah, there you go. That makes sense. With that, we'll have a quick commercial break. And we are back with the defense. The defense, I'll tell you what, I'll say this, first half, not bad, right?
I think, you know what? If you can give up less than 20 points, like Micah Parsons says, we're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, yeah.
He said it a little bit different. He said if they can put up more than 20. But what he meant was they're going to hold them to less than 20. So
yeah, the Bengals did not score in their first four drives. The Packers are the only remaining team who haven't allowed a first quarter point this season, which is pretty crazy. This is how points have gone so far this year for the Packers allowing against opposing teams. They are first in quarter one. That might not be surprising. They are fourth in quarter two. They are fifth in quarter three. And they are dead last in quarter four for points allowed. I think we've allowed like 110 points or something, and 80 of them have been in the second half, something like that. People are now saying, have you heard Jeff Halfley's new nickname?
No.
Jeff First Halfley.
I love that.
I stole that from John Anderson, but that it's a pretty good one.
That's hilarious.
We also have the best run D in football right now. Again, it's just like off the top, it's like you feel bad about stuff, and then you dive a little deeper and it's like, well, maybe we're not actually that bad. I mean, that drive to start the second half, that fucking sucked. But at the same time, like, it came down to a fourth down at the end there. There was a big third down pickup too. It's like you kind of want to be in those situations. It just never materialized for them. And like I said earlier too, the Packers opponents haven't punted in the second half for 2 weeks straight. So it's a little weird.
If we don't come out to start the season and absolutely demolish the Lions, like, the expectations are probably a little bit lower and people feel a little bit better about where we're at. Cause it's like, oh, we're improving. But when you come out just super hot and beat a team that everybody thought was going to lead the NFC North, and the Lions do look a lot better now. But like, when you come out like that, it's like hard to manage those expectations weeks 2, 3, 4, 5, you know? So I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, yeah, there's a lot of complaining, but it's like at the same time, if we had gotten shit kicked by the Lions and then we improved after that, people would feel way different.
Yeah, good point. I still feel really good about the defense. LaFleur talked about it on his Monday availability too, how him and Jeff like sat down and they're like, what do we have to do to improve this defense? Because it's like, do we have to like practice harder to condition guys, because it's like the fourth quarter where we're wearing down and maybe that's what the issue is. I mean, especially again with that third quarter drive, it's like for whatever over 10 minutes long it took, it's like that I'm sure drained guys. Here's a thought too. So do you get more tired on defense? Because you never hear about the offense wearing down. It's always the defense wearing down.
I feel like you do get more tired on defense. I feel like it takes a lot more energy to tackle somebody than it does to like
get tackled.
If you're linebacker, you exert a lot more energy than being a running back.
Sure.
And if you bust a 60-yard run, I mean, obviously you're tired for that, but it's like every single down when you're on defense, you're exerting a lot of energy. Where on offense, it's like you kind of know you're making the decisions as far as like where the ball's going and stuff like that. Like, you know what you're doing, where on defense you're reacting to it. So
yeah, I think you do exert more. Yeah, that makes sense. Again, we still only have the two turnovers on the season, which is frustrating as well. We're either last or second to last in the league on that still. But I don't know. It's just weird because it's the second half defense. It's not forcing turnovers. I still feel fine about it. And like we talked about last week too, it's like And what you talked about, where after expectations with week one with this defense, it's like, well, all the talk about the ball king and forcing turnovers, it's like, did other teams get smart to that? And then again, with Micah Parsons and how quick we've seen other opposing teams throw the ball, it's like they're just, they have a type of blueprint to stay competitive in these games, if not, you know, tie or win them, it seems like.
Yeah, I do. My only complaint, like, as far as, like, if they are getting the ball out quick, it's like, well, then we just need to bring our coverage needs to come up a little tighter.
Right.
But I don't, like, obviously then you open yourself up to getting beat, especially when you got Nate Hobbs or CV on one side. Like, it's going to happen. But it's just like, at least, like, show it and back it off. I don't know. I don't know what you do. Right. Maybe can you simulate a press? We simulate pressure. Can we simulate a press so we don't actually get burned? I don't know.
Get up
do
to
a little
the line.
Sky cloud action, you know? Like, hey.
Immediately just sprint backwards after you get up to the line. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Defensive line, Packers front seven. I mean, we got good pressure on the first two drives. Flacco had to give up on several plays early like he did with the Browns where he just ends up throwing the ball away. Like we said, LVN got carted off with that foot injury after sacking Flacco. That was probably his most impressive sack of his career. I mean, he just got right off the edge. Like, he beat him with speed, which you don't see from that guy.
Right.
Sorrell, he's still been fine. I mean, maybe we'll see more out of him here with LVN probably being out a couple weeks. He didn't really have any big flash plays this week, but you see him moving around quite a bit, which is
seeing
nice.
Seeing that number 99 is just fun, too. I just love seeing 99.
I said that from the beginning. It's like 99 is a defensive end number. Like, that LVN could have had that. Even if Parsons would have had that, like, that just, it never looks bad. I can't remember an offensive line pushing a pile more than the Bengals did in this game. There was like, it was like an extra 5 yards.
And it was like only when Samaje Perine had the ball, yeah, who's like, yeah, who's literally like, what was the Tolbert? He reminds me of like Tolbert. What was his first name?
Oh, fuck.
Whatever, yeah, doesn't matter. Tolbert from the
Chargers,
from the Panthers, and
yeah, and the Chargers
yeah, back
Panthers,
in the day.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's a little tank, but yeah, they like we'd stand him up, and you can tell we're just trying to rip the ball. So obviously, they're focusing on ripping the ball and stuff like that. You can see him doing it, but then it's like you stand him up for too long, and then you got guards and tackles coming in, and now all of a sudden he's got an extra 5-6 yards. It's like, all right, like there is a. You got to have, like, the QB has the clock in his head. If you are a linebacker picking a guy up to strip the ball, you got to have a clock in your head and be like, okay, I got to just fall down now.
I wonder if that'll come up with Halfley's availability this week one way or another. And again, Parsons, I believe he finished with 5 pressures, which was his low on the season. But, God, he does seem to be getting held quite a bit, not to sound like a bitching fan, but I feel like he got a couple holding calls week one, maybe week two, and since then it's been nearly impossible for him to get one of them. Warren Brinson, in his first game, he was the top-rated player according to Pro Football Focus on defense.
Ooh.
So, again, you always take that with a grain of
salt. How many snaps?
Was it not very many? I did not look that up. I think he played a decent amount.
Really?
And then I should maybe you can look it up here quick because what's his name? The other defensive tackle we have, not Colby Wooden, but Carl Brooks. Carl Brooks, he was the biggest beneficiary of snaps, where I think he ended up playing like 80% or something for a defensive lineman, which we don't really ever do. So that's something to think about, too. We'll see what happens. Again, LVN, he should be back in a couple weeks. We did work out some defensive ends this week. I wonder if Colin Oliver is ever going to be healthy enough to get activated, the fifth-round pick. But, again, I mean, we're the best run-stuffing defense in the NFL, so we can't complain too much about the defensive line right now.
I don't know how. I'm looking at it's Acme Packing Company. I just Googled, like, snaps for the week.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure it's the Bengals game?
That's what I typed in, but it must not be because it says Carl Brooks has 0 snaps. So that's not correct.
Okay.
But it does also say Warren Brinson had 20. So I don't know how this is working.
Huh. Okay.
Anyways.
Well,
maybe I'm reading it wrong.
Yeah, you're reading stuff for some people. Linebackers.
But 20.
Yeah.
It's an okay amount.
linebackers, both Quay and Edge, I don't know, they've just been quiet the last 2 weeks, after the first 2 weeks where it seems like they broke out. They've just kind of, there hasn't been those splash plays. Cooper had his worst game as a pro maybe against the Cowboys, and Quay and him since then, it's like there hasn't been as many tackles for loss. They were in there on one early with Javon Bullard, but it's not the ball hawk type of linebacking crew that we expected at the beginning of the year.
But here's the thing is when you're throwing the ball 45 times, like Quay is not in a position, Quay in coverage is not where you want him. Right. And like, I think teams know that, like him, you watched him on that. Who's their tight end that scored? Nobody knows his name anyway. It doesn't matter.
Not Noah Fant. And Gesicki like, got hurt.
Right. So it's whoever their third string tight end is, but like, nice he's just catch. Not adept at coverage. I mean, he's even like close, but he still just like can't get there to make the.
I mean, that touchdown, he made it tough. He got his hand on the ball after the guy had it, but yeah.
I think it's just not his thing.
Right.
Like, coverage, he's a downhill guy. Send him to hey, you got this gap to this gap, go. Like, that's him. And like, same, like, Cooper's better in coverage, like, by far. But I think, like, when you throw the ball 45 times, it's like tough for your linebackers to be attacking. I don't know what the number was against the Cowboys, but same thing against the Cowboys. Like, they're dropping back into coverage over and over and over again. And, like, if you have talented tight ends, they're just going to beat linebackers almost every time. Unless they're, like, truly elite. Like, if you have, like, guys who've been in the league for a long time who have seen a lot of coverages, like Fred Warner, those guys are pretty good, right? But, like, R.I.P. even they get picked apart. R.I.P., yeah, true.
Yeah, and I don't know. We'll see. You'd still like to see them. You know, Halfley's back to the defense he originally kind of wanted to run, where we don't really blitz all that much. We just kind of send the front four. And, I mean, we still get pressure, and it's just, again, it leads to that the chipping away offense that we had at the beginning of the third quarter. You know, that's just a prime example of what's going on when you get some pressure, not enough. You can force a lot of plays, but eventually they might still get to the end zone.
I will say that I do love the way, like, Jeff Halfley just switches it up. His pressures don't look the same. Like, the simulated pressures there with, like, the double A gaps, we saw that once. It's just, like, it's refreshing to see creativity on the defense. Just, like, week in and week out, it's not boring. Like, it's just we see different things. It's like, oh, like, they're reacting to what they see on film and think they can take advantage of, which is, like, that's really fun to see.
The secondary, I mean, you know, mixed bag, but a lot of not great stuff. I mean, Keyshawn Nixon, he had a great tackle on third down on the tight end number 87 to finish the play and force the third or fourth down there. And the thing with Keyshawn, you know, I mean, Jamar Chase beat him on that touchdown, but what more could you really ask from Keyshawn at that point? And with him, too, I feel like a lot of fans kind of don't like Keyshawn Nixon. But he's beat expectations every single year. Because, like, still, he's
making, like, $20 an hour.
It's $6 million per year, I'm pretty sure, which is nothing. That is nothing.
Nothing.
And he's our CB1, clearly. You know, is he a top-end CB1? No. Is he a low-end? Maybe not even that. But he's a pretty solid corner. And, again, if nothing else, he gives it his all. I mean, the one play where the ball was thrown a little above Jamar Chase's head, and then Keyshawn just, like, pushed him anyways. I was like, okay, Keyshawn, I don't know if we have to do that.
I do know what you're... He was overthrown by, like, a lot. It was, like, 10 yards overthrown, and Keyshawn just, like, tried to knock him over. Yeah.
Bullard had the nice play at the line of scrimmage. Again, he's... Javon Bullard is a really good player. It's like kind of the opposite of Josh Jacobs, where Josh Jacobs, I feel like beyond the line of scrimmage, he's really good. I mean, he's good anyways, but beyond that, he's like special. Bullard,
like, the further he gets from the line of scrimmage, the better he gets. Bullard is the opposite.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Like, you've got to play him up at the line. If he's head seeking, if he's chasing a running back, like, he's really good close to the line of scrimmage. The further he gets away, he's not as good. So he was impressive there a couple times. He did get banged up in the game too. So did Dontavian Wicks. It sounds like Dontavian Wicks' ankle is fine. And Bullard came out for a suspected concussion, which he had one earlier this year. It was not a concussion. It was actually a stinger, and it sounds like he will be fine. the Bengals receiver, Isivas or whatever, the tall third guy, he had like three drops in this game. You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That was a huge save. And
yes.
It could have been a little bit closer. And then the last thing to talk about, Carrington Valentine. I mean, he played a little bit better than he did against the Cowboys. How do we feel about him grittying on Jamar Chase on a play that Carrington really didn't do much of? And
yeah.
then maybe that, you know, pissed Chase off enough because a play or two later, I think he converted a third or fourth down and then he had the touchdown too.
Yeah. I mean, it is one of those things like, does him grittying on him actually matter? Like Jamar Chase is going to get his. Right, as long as Joe Flacco's going to give him the ball a couple times, right? Like he knows who to go to, right? Mm-hmm. And Jamar just showed like he bullied Keyshawn in the end zone a little bit there to get that touchdown pass on the right sideline. But I don't know, like if you're like, it sucks because it's like kind of a little bit embarrassing when you're like dancing and you know you didn't really do anything.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, like you need your quarterbacks to have just like unlimited confidence. They need to just like exude it and talk and just like do all that. So like I'm okay. It sucks that he's not as good as we thought he could be.
He still could
like,
be.
He could be. It's just like when you're watching him, it's like he's just not there. I don't know.
I don't know if the positives outweigh the negatives of doing the gritty to the best, one of the best receivers in the league. And then again, like I said,
if he was a little bit better, maybe.
Right. Jair could get away with it.
And like, and then it's like, cause he was in Justin Jefferson's head that game.
Yeah.
Like so much that like, there's that part of it of like getting in someone's head, but you have to be able to back it up. And it's like, we just don't have the personnel to back it up. That's the tough part.
That is still one of my favorite calls. It was nice having Kevin Harlan on this one, but that, Jair versus Justin Jefferson, because it was Jim Nance, I believe, on the call for that one. And as soon as Jair started, he's like, oh, and he's doing a gritty. It was like, it was so weird that he like wanted to commentate that part of it. Special teams. Hey, best special teams performance of the season.
Yeah.
One thing, Matt using that timeout at the end of the first half to stop the longest field goal in NFL history. Great job,
amazing
Matt.
Amazing timeout.
Great job. It's
his best timeout ever.
It's bad that we have to be like, good job. Good job, Matt, on like the most obvious freezing of a kicker ever. And then obviously we had our kicker who was the savior of this game, got Lucas Havisic or whatever. Havisic, obviously the two field goals, including the, you know, kind of dagger at the end. He made both his extra points.
He was
too.
A substitute teacher in Cleveland.
That's where he's living right now. Yes, a substitute teacher in Cleveland. This wasn't his first time kicking at Lambeau Field, too. In 2023, he was the kicker for the Rams in that terrible game with Brett Rippon. He went 1-for-2 in that game. Domofsky talked to his agent, and he said this before the game even, where when he signed with the team, the Packers told him, hey, this is just in case of an emergency, don't expect to kick. And then Sunday, lo and behold, McManus is out. This guy's got a kick for us wearing the beautiful number 35, and he nails both of them. It's funny because it's like power rank the Packers kickers since Mason Crosby.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one because it is probably, I mean, small sample size.
But it's McManus.
I would maybe, who is the dude from Wisconsin whose wife was from Wisconsin? What was his name again?
You should remember. God, I just had it too.
We had a fun Braden nickname.
Narveson.
Oh, Narv Dog.
Yes.
Was that it?
Narv
yes,
Dog.
Narv Dog. I was trying to think of what to think.
Because it's McManus first.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's easy.
It's Lucas second, probably.
It's Anders last.
I think it's Anders last, even though he was a better kicker probably than Nerve Dog. But the one he had a really like, bad miss. It was pretty costly. Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to love Anders so much, but just like it was never it. And like Narveson was like such an underdog.
Yes.
That it's like you get a pass.
Anders looked like he came straight out of Sweden, and Narvdog looked like he came straight from behind the cash register at like a podunk little gas station.
Quick Trip.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't even say Quick Trip. Quick Trip's nicer than...
You're thinking like it was like a Holiday, but then like Holiday left town,
and now it's something
whatever
yeah.
else. It's
exactly.
Jim's bait shop.
Yep. Savion Williams, he was better on returns. Bo Melton back there too. He had a nice return as well. All the kicks in this game, again, like we mentioned, were good. No blocks. Matt did. They did finally make the change to using the entire offensive line on the kick block unit, which is great. It was funny hearing him after too, because he's like, well, it's a points play. It's important. It's like, well, then why the fuck wasn't it important earlier?
Wasn't important before.
Come on, man. Matthew Golden. Again,
can I just say something too about the kick returns?
Yep.
Savion is going to break one. Like, there is going to be a kick return touchdown this year. Savion is going to get one.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks... The Cowboys one, he just didn't know how to handle those weird, dirty kicks. But when he gets the ball in his hands, like, he's not terrible. Like, that's the thing. I'm fine with Savion, but Golden is the one where it's like,
not Matthew Golden.
We got to pull him now. And it was the second straight week in a row where he got pulled for Romeo Doubs. I mean, what was it? He called a fair catch on, like, the 5 or 10 when he had all that space in front of him. So
why doesn't Bo Melton return punts?
That's the number one thing. It's... He's, you know, a bottom end of the roster guy. He's played more snaps on
the bottom,
more snaps on offense than defense when he's a corner. And it's like, what would be tougher for Bo Melton to learn? Playing corner in the NFL or being a punt returner? It seems like a pretty obvious, and there's much less risk with him being back there too.
Also, if we lose Bo Melton.
Oh no.
Kind of if we lose Romeo Doubs.
Much bigger.
If we lose Matthew Golden.
That's my other note with Romeo Doubs. That his first one where he didn't call a fair catch, he had two guys next to him that just assumed he called a fair catch.
They were assuming. But that's what happened. You put those guys back there and they're like, the last time they returned was in high school, and they're the best athlete on the field, and they're like, oh, I got this. Yeah. And they get back there. And then they don't call a fair catch and they get smacked. And Romeo Doubs has already had 17 concussions and now he's brain dead in a coma. Like, we don't okay. need that.
It's like, keep the offensive line on field goal unit. Our coverage units have been fine. Put Bo Melton at punt returner. I have no complaints. Just do that. I'm sure I'll think up of a complaint eventually.
Yeah, we'll have more.
But just do that for now. That'll save you a couple weeks, I think, Rich. With that, anything else from this game?
No.
Take
no.
news for the week.
Football time. Take news.
Take news for the week. X's and O's, not Jimmy's and Joe's. This is a... I think it's been a big complaint, especially now. We've had similar ones in the past. You know, again, we're always talking about Tucker Kraft. We want Tucker Kraft to get the ball more. He just makes shit happen when he gets the ball in his hands. Matthew Golden, for how much talk there was about him at the beginning of the year and what we saw from him in this game and in bits and pieces before this. It's like, this guy should be getting the ball a bit more. Well, you know, you'd assume that's going to happen in the future and ongoing. We'll just chip away. We'll see him more and more getting the ball. Well, what kind of gets... Yeah, maybe this is just coach speak, but this is what LaFleur and Adam Stenovich said. We'll start with Steno here. This was going into the week, so this is before Matthew Golden's game, but this was, I think, Jason Wilde asking him, and Steno does bring up a good point because, again, there's been similar questions like this in the past, like maybe referring to Jaden Reed being kind of the number one target, and maybe you should be getting him the ball more. But this is Adam Stenovich when asked about, you know, getting Tucker Kraft the ball more.
But Tucker Kraft did suggest that, you know, the more he's involved, the better off the offense is. How do you go about figuring out how to get guys the right amount of involvement?
I feel like you ask me this question every week. And you're like, and it's tough.
Usually,
like, you know, as you're
player every time.
Yeah, that's right. It's either Jay Reed, now it's Tucker, and then it's, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's the same thing we just talked about. Like, you have your play. You're like, all right, this is the coverage we're trying to catch. If we get it, here's the shot to whoever. But then it's, again, a check down to Tucker or Josh Jacobs or something like that, that, like, is a pretty good play as well because those guys can make some plays. But yeah, I mean, anytime you're going into a game plan, you wanna have X amount of plays for this guy. You can only call so many, so you gotta be real selective with it, and just make sure you're trying to get them called. And some games, the flow goes, and you're able to call those plays, and then some games, it doesn't happen.
All right, so that was Steno. Again, that was last Wednesday or Thursday, I believe, before the game. And this was Matt LaFleur after the game when asked about Matthew Golden, his kind of breakout game, and if he's going to have to get him more involved.
Is it your plan to use him more in your offense in the future?
I mean, it's what it is, guys. Like, I know everybody wants us to force feed guys the ball, but, I mean, that's really not how we've done it around here, and I don't plan on changing that. So, you know, that's the beauty of having a lot of guys that we have a lot of confidence in, that where we have confidence that we can put anybody in the situation and try to have plays off of plays. And a lot of it is dictated off the coverages, however teams are playing us. And the quarterback's role is just to make sure the ball's going in the right place based on what the defense presents. And whoever gets those catches, they get them.
All right, so Todd, I'll let you go first here. What are your thoughts with, you know, seeing the way the offense is produced? You know, you probably as well want Tucker Kraft and Matthew Golden to get the ball more, and then hearing what Steno and LaFleur had to say about that.
I mean, I think it's very different than, like, the Mike LaFleur's offense is very different than, like, McCarthy's, in the fact that, like, McCarthy's offense was strictly based around athletes going out and making plays, it seemed. It was very much just, like, beat the defense, yep. Right? Where, like, yep. LaFleur is, like, scheme guys open. And so it's a very different concept. So, like, I also, like, I get the point of, like, hey, we're not going to force the ball to anybody. We saw what happened when we did force feed, like, Devontae. Devontae, amazing at the time. His and Rodgers' connections was amazing, but, like, at the end of the season, when that's all you've got, everybody knows it, and it's like, ugh, like, that's tough. Apples and oranges, but at the same time, it's like, I can understand their side of it, where it's like, hey, we're not going to force feed certain guys. I do think there's, like, a happy medium, and I also don't think they're going to tell you this in the press conference.
Yes,
either,
yes.
Which is, like, another dumb part of this, where it's like, they're not going to be like,
me bringing it up to talk about?
I think it's dumb when they ask the questions, and, like, because, like, it's their job to ask questions, I guess. But, like, he's not going to be like, yeah, we're going to force feed Tucker the ball. I dialed up a couple plays for him for next week. Or, hey, we're doing the same thing with Golden because, like, wow, he's really good. So we're just going to force feed him the ball. They're not going to tell you that. But at the same time, like, I do feel like you mentioned, like, the 2-yard Richard Rodgers out with Tucker Kraft. Like, there can be a couple of those where it's like, hey, we're just going to get our athletes the ball in space. Like, wide receiver screens, just quick little hitches, stuff like that to go make plays that we could be missing. I'm going to contradict myself.
Ooh.
One of my complaints is all the short game stuff, and not when we push the ball down the field, we're a better team. We're a better offense when we push the ball down the field. So I don't know where that lies as far as, like, maybe there's other ways to intentionally get a couple guys the ball. That really need it. Tucker, Matthew Golden, Romeo gets the ball a fair amount. But yeah, anyways, I guess that's my thought on it.
Yeah.
There's some nuance there. I don't know.
I agree with a lot of what you said. I was thinking the same thing, you know, with Mike McCarthy versus Matt LaFleur. It's hypocritical to be like, well, just get your playmakers the ball. It's like, that is the reason why we moved on from Mike McCarthy, is because the static offense, he wasn't really scheming guys open. And then again, too, the Devontae Adams things. Now, obviously, it didn't work in the playoffs against the Niners, but the last time a Matt LaFleur offense really had any type of identity was Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to Devontae Adams, and more often than not, that did work really well. But the things that, you know, again, for the most part, I agree. We should find some type of happy medium. But, like, in this game, and I know it's Dobbs coming off a 3-touchdown game, but when he has 9 targets and Matthew Golden finishes with 5 and Tucker Kraft has 2, it's a little like, okay, what are we doing here? Especially a week after Tucker Kraft said to the media that he feels like the offense is better when he gets the ball more. It's almost like, hey, did Did Steno and LaFleur like try to move away from Tucker a little bit, just to be like, hey, you don't need to speak up on this type of stuff? I don't think that actually happened, but it just makes you think. But the big things that I didn't like from Steno and Matt there, Steno, and they both said very similar things. Steno saying, this is the coverage we're trying to catch. And Matt saying, a lot of it is dictated off of coverages. That's the type of shit where obviously you want to scheme guys open. You're looking for certain things. But you're, Matt says right there, he's letting the defense dictate what they're going to do on offense. And it's like, we need to find those staples on offense that we can run against most defenses. I mean, what one of the few plays that the Bengals were able to make against us on Sunday, it was Ja'Marr Chase making plays because he's a special player, and maybe it wasn't the best look, but he made it happen because he's so talented and he rises above it. And that's what it seems like Matthew Golden and Tucker Kraft are. Now, I don't know exactly what I'd want for targets for, you know, this offense. Obviously, Josh Jacobs is going to get his in the run game, but it's like, we should, like, not 50%, but we need to be getting Tucker Kraft a minimum of 5 targets a game. We need to get Matthew Golden a minimum, like this game, 5 targets a game. I know we have a lot of good pass catchers too, but it's like, you need your best players at their best come playoff time. And in close games like this, again, I mean, it was a 1-score game going into the fourth quarter and it happened again later. It's like, I just like to breathe a little bit, and I feel like we'd just be better off if we target our real playmakers.
I agree with that. I feel like if it's less than 4 is like borderline criminal as far as targets for Tucker Kraft.
Yeah.
Like 2 is just not enough. I could see, you know, certain situations, hey, like in these looks, like we really do want to get the ball in certain places. And there's defenses that will go and try and take certain people away. But Tucker Kraft has not been given the ball enough at all to ever be feared in the sense of like, we're going to run the offense through Tucker. Like, we don't do that. We don't run the offense through anybody.
Right.
And so maybe Josh eventually Jacobs. There could be, yeah, Josh Jacobs would actually be the guy. That's a good point. But eventually maybe there could be that argument. But as far as like right now, there's no receiver that's getting the ball any significant amount on a week-to-week basis other than Romeo Doubs. Like, he's the only that guy that consistently gets the ball. And it's some of his weeks are fairly modest. So, I don't know. It would be nice to just see, like, and maybe that's why we're so good on third down. It's like, give me your coverage beaters. Like, hey, we're going to go out there and, like, we have to make a play, so we just go do it. I don't know. It's tough to know because, like you said, like Matt's offense like doesn't have enough of an identity yet to like kind of see what we're doing. Like, I don't feel like I see enough of it. We're like, all those years with McCarthy, like I feel like as viewers, we could kind of see what was getting called, like as it was happening. It was more obvious what we were doing, which isn't necessarily a good thing. But.
And I think we're kind of seeing what Aaron Rodgers was in this offense too. Again, some of they talked about how there was some McCarthy plays that were still in there. It's obviously the shit that he ran with Devontae. And it's like, he would switch to things that he wanted to, and he would get the ball more so to his playmakers, you know, even like fucking Alan Lazard, who he could trust. You know, I don't know what an Alan Lazard would be doing in this offense right now with these guys. You know, he wouldn't be nearly as productive as he was with Aaron Rodgers those years with Devontae.
Right.
But I don't know. We'll see. And it's going to be interesting, too, because Christian Watson, I don't know if he's going to play this week against the Cardinals. I wonder if the Packers coaching staff is thinking about how the last time we played the Cardinals, Robert Tonyan and Kalen Hill both tore their ACLs at that stadium. So maybe they'll wait another week.
Which is weird because that's a grass field.
It is a grass field. Yeah, it's a good point. And the week after that, we play Pittsburgh outside. So maybe that'll be a little bit better. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I wonder what the science is behind the Cardinals turf, because it's real grass, but they move it inside, outside, to grow it. So maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe someday we'll look that up, but probably not.
I would say maybe like the only difference would be like the fact that it's like on rollers.
Right.
There's no like real ground. It's like, it's like a big tray. It's like a big lunch tray.
What's the typical section call for that?
That's
for
a really good question. Can we see a typical or a cross section for that?
But it is, and like Wicks, you know, I put this out on Twitter and it's getting a little bit of traction right now, how he retweeted Christian Watson's father talking about the offense and how it's not like a one receiver offense. Like, everyone kind of gets the ball. So Wicks might be showing some type of frustration one way or another, but it's going to be interesting. We saw what happened with Romeo Doubs last year, where it's going to be Doubs, Matthew Golden, Dontayvion Wicks, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed whenever he gets back, Savion Williams too. Like, maybe we do have to end up trading someone just out of necessity because we have a lot of decent receivers there. But either way, it's going to be, I don't know, I'm looking forward to see what happens. It should be a good thing for the Packers, but maybe there will be some type of drama along the line later this year. I hope not, but we'll see.
I did look up that field, Arizona's field. Uh-huh. It looks like pretty hefty. That big tray that moves in and out, which obviously it has to be hefty to carry the field, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. But it's like, I want to say it looks like it's like 3 feet tall.
Okay.
So maybe it's just, I don't know. I don't know what's in there. But
yeah,
like,
I wonder what a turf stadium or, you know, actual turf or whatever, how far down it is with whatever they put in for that. The rubber, how many feet of rubber pellets do they have?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because, like, obviously that whole thing has to, like, drain and everything, too, if they water it. So yeah. I don't know what's in there. Maybe it is, like, maybe there's only, like, 6 inches of dirt. And so maybe it's harder. I don't know.
We'll never know. Stump Spenny? Got the Stump Spenny for the week. I am 2-3 so far this year, so under 500. I'm always very close with my answers, but I'm not always right.
Stump Spenny for the week. Who was the Packers' leading rusher in their 2021 win against Arizona?
So
it was the last time we played him.
Fuck. Because I think Aaron Jones and Devontae were both out of that game. AJ Dillon might have been it. Again, Kalen Hill tore his ACL in that game. Jamal Williams had to have been gone by then, I'm pretty sure. So it's probably AJ Dillon, but who was our other back? Was it a Tyler Goodson? Was it a... God, who else do we have back then? God, it might have even been... Oh, man. How about this? Is it... You're saying the leading rusher?
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be a running back.
Nope. Leading rusher is what... It could be a running back, could be someone else.
Okay. I didn't get much of a face from me there. I think it could be AJ Dillon, but for whatever reason, I want to say it was Aaron Rodgers.
Is that a final answer?
Yeah.
AJ Dillon.
Fuck. God damn it. God damn it.
Billy, if you're listening, I had my poker face on the entire time.
God, I should have known. Fuck. I even knew. At least people listening, you know, I wasn't way off there. I broke it all down. I knew Aaron Jones didn't play in that game. I think AJ, one thing that sucks, and this is not a good thing for me as a person, but I don't like that AJ Dillon will go down his history as one year he was the leading rusher for the Packers, and I think it was that
wild
season. Alex Green was too, though, way back in the day. Remember him out of Hawaii?
Oh, yeah. That's right, out of Hawaii. That's right.
He was a bad player. He had really cool dreadlocks, though, and he wore, I think he was number 30 and the last name Green, so you could take your number 30 Green jerseys out.
Recycle it.
Yeah. With that, we have our preview of the Cardinals game. We are playing the Arizona Cardinals at 325 in Arizona on Fox. Did you see who's on the call?
No, I didn't.
Kenny Albert, who is fine for what he is.
Oh,
he's been
no,
Fox
but
forever.
He's
but
paired with...
That means he is paired up with Jonathan Vilma. Far and away, the worst color commentary guy for Fox now, that Mark Sanchez.
He's probably better by now.
Nope. I've only heard bad things since he's stuck around. Yeah. Like, he's always just yelling for whatever reason. So I haven't done it yet this year, but I might have to sync up Wayne Larrivee and Larry McCarron for this one. On Packers.com because Jonathan Vilma is terrible. Did you hear about Mark Sanchez? You see that?
Mm-mm. Oh, I don't. What's real about it? Did he stab somebody or someone stabbed him?
Yeah, it seems like
don't...
it was. He was drunk and he started some shit with a DoorDash driver delivery guy. It was a big old truck. The guy had to defend himself with mace and stab him. It might be a felony for Mark Sanchez. But we'll see. And it sucks because I wanted Mark Sanchez to be taken off Fox and like being a color commentator because he's so bad at it. But
sure.
I didn't want it to happen like this. You know, I wanted him to die.
You want to beat the Bears, but not because Jay Cutler gets hurt.
Right. Because he dies.
Because he
The Cardinals, not very good. They are 2-4. They lost a close game to the Colts last week, 31-27, marking their fourth consecutive loss. Backup quarterback Jacoby Brissett was filling in for Kyler Murray. He had a decent game, 320 yards and two touchdowns, but the team fell short late in the fourth. Despite the loss, they had key contributions from Zay Jones, Trey McBride, and Michael Wilson because they had injuries to Marvin Harrison Jr. So, and obviously Kyler Murray being out. So something to watch. I believe Marvin Harrison had a concussion. So we'll have to see if he gets out of the concussion protocol. And then Kyler Murray, I mean, I believe it's a foot injury. So we'll have to watch the injury report throughout the week to see if he plays. But either way, with it being a foot, it's a little bit better because obviously he is quite the runner. He is the, have you heard what people compare his running to?
Kyler?
Yeah. The way he runs around.
No.
He runs around like a little baby that like got the TV remote or something and he's like run away from you. Like it's very, Caleb Williams kind of has it too, where it's like the legs are almost in front of the body when he runs. It's just a very odd way about him.
High knees.
Yeah. Their offense, again, not very good. A lot of their rankings are the bottom third. Points per game, they are ranked 20th with 21.7. They have 304 yards per game of offense, which is 22nd in the league. They're the sixth best third down offense in football and the fourth best fourth down offense in football. Again, they're middling. They're sacked 8% of the time, which is 25th in the league. Not good. So, again, just not a very good offense. They're not a very good running offense either. A little bit better passing the ball, but they've had some injuries from the running backs. On defense, they're giving up 21.2 points per game, which is 14th best in the league. They are top 10 in points per play, 7th best third down defense at 36%, and they also get sacks on 44.4% of the time, which is 27th best in the league. Their pass D is not good. It's, again, like 25th, 26th, I believe. Again, offense, Kyler Murray probably not going to play, so it'll be Jacoby Brissett, the longtime backup. Probably one of the better backups in the league, just a very steady, he's going to go out there, maybe throw a pick, but he usually isn't very mistake-oriented. I don't think
he's like one of the best guys to come off the bench, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah, he did pretty good with the Patriots a couple years ago. Trey Benson and James Conner, the top two backs, are both on the IR. So their backs right now are Bam Knight, Michael Carter, and Amari DeMarcado, who was the guy who threw the ball or dropped the ball when he was scoring a couple of weeks ago, and then the coach like grabbed him on the sideline. So last week, that group averaged 3.3 yards per carry. None of them had an average higher than 3.8, so they're not a great running team. I mean, biggest offensive weapon to worry about is probably Trey McBride, their leading receiver, 347 receiving yards and two touchdowns. Again, I mean, Marvin Harrison, we'll see if he plays, but tight ends seem to give the Packers issues for the most part, especially the beginning of the year. Sam LaPorta and Ertz both had pretty good games against us. Ferguson as well for the Cowboys. And Marvin Harrison, I mean, up and down, I think there was a lot of chatter early in the season that he was a bum, but not really a bum, maybe not far and away the best receiver out of that draft class from last year, but still a pretty solid wideout, so we will see if he's able to go. On defense, they have Mac Wilson Sr., their linebacker and leading tackler. Josh Sweat, the edge defender, he leads the team with 5 sacks and 6 tackle for losses. Was he the guy out of the Rashawn Gary draft class, too? He's more of a bendy edge.
Was that Montez Sweat?
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, not Josh Sweat.
You're right. Calais Campbell still playing, veteran anchor of the run defense, occasional pass rush, whatever. Buda Baker still the safety, no picks thus far this year. And then Jalen Thompson is their top DB safety, whatever. He's a fine player. Will Johnson, the rookie out of Michigan, remember him? He's having a pretty good year so far. He hasn't been injured. Remember he had that weird foot injury that kind of kept him off some draft boards. And then there are 2 former Packers on this team. one on the 53, one on the practice squad. On the 53, you remember Pat O'Donnell, our punter for 1 year, who was then replaced by Whelan. He got signed this week. I don't think he punted a bit for the Niners maybe 2 years ago, but I think he was out of the league all of last year. But good on him getting a gig again. And then on the practice squad, our beloved Josiah the Messiah DeGuara.
Oh, I was wondering who it was going to be.
Who was?
It's good for him for still being in the league, honestly.
I mean, it just shows you the difference between a guy like Josiah DeGuara and Jay Sternberger, where DeGuara, he could play special teams. He knows his role. I'm sure he puts his nose in the playbook. And Jay Sternberger gets his nose into illegal drugs, potentially, and then he doesn't stick around the league very much, allegedly. There wasn't any. He got in trouble for taking pills or something. I don't know. He seems to have his shit together a little bit better now.
When you said nose, I thought, you know.
Yeah. I think you can eat pills with your nose, too. I don't know.
Yeah. If you put your mind to it, you can do anything.
If you put your nose to it, yeah. Yeah, that's the Cardinals. Again, we're playing there.
Buried the lead.
What?
Mountain Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Did we have this happen before? Oh, yeah, we played the Cardinals last year. I forgot. We played them at Lambeau last year.
Oh, we did?
Right?
I don't. I'll look it up.
I think we did, but now I'm wondering if it was the Texas. But we definitely had a Melton Bowl last year. I don't know if they lined up against each other. We had to have.
Yeah, we definitely did, didn't we? Because we talked about it last year.
Okay, yeah. So, anyways, Todd, what are your thoughts on this game?
I wish I should have done better scouting. I usually like to watch whoever we're playing the upcoming week. I didn't see the Cardinals play against the Colts.
We did win 34-13 last year
at
Lambeau.
So it was the Melton Bowl.
Yeah, it was probably the best our team looked on offense just about all year.
Sure. I don't know. This team does seem... I don't know. It's... They didn't do horrible. What was the score last week against the Colts? 27-31. That's not bad. And the Colts have looked really good.
Yeah. Well, so I'm not. They might be frauds, but yes.
They have put up some big numbers, though. I don't know. This one feels like it could be close, especially the way we've been playing, just letting teams stick around. So I don't feel super great about just like where our team is at coming into this one. I still feel like this is a W on the sheet. I still, you know, that was definitely a W that I marked down at the beginning of the season. I still feel that way, but it just feels like we have to take this more seriously. If we don't, this could get ugly.
I hope that's what Matt says on the locker room. Guys, let's take this one seriously.
We do have to take it seriously. And like, I don't know, going on the road is different than being at home, right? So you can definitely let a game can get away from you on the road where like at home, it's easy to reel everybody back in. So we just like the focus needs to be there. The stupid like... I don't know, just like the really short, everything in front of the defense has to stop. We need to push the ball a little bit further down the field. Those are like, that's my big thing. And then just like we talked about before, just the defense has to be better at the end of the game. We just can't let it run away at the end. So I in general feel good. It's just at the end of the first quarter, if we're looking lax, I'm going to get nervous.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I put this out on Sunday. Matt LaFleur loves to keep shitty coaches around and keep subpar teams around the entire game. I like what you said about this being an away game. That has been something we've lacked so far this year. Hopefully the offense can go out and rip it early because, you know, the offensive line especially, it's just they haven't been as good on the road when they haven't been able to use their full count. They have to go to the silent snap count. So we'll see. Again, the full offensive line. Maybe Christian Watson's back. I don't know. It should be cakewalkish. I hope. Again, this is a reeling team.
Especially sans Kyler.
Yeah. Well,
it should be.
Especially good. If he's passing the ball too, if he's not able to run all that much. We've been saying it for multiple weeks in a row now where this should be a game where we can maybe blow them out. You know, we said about the Browns, maybe not so much about the Cowboys. We thought the Bengals would blow them out a little bit more. So hopefully it happens here. I don't know. I still get like weird heebie-jeebies with that stadium. I think of the Jeff Janis game that we should have won. I think of the 2009 playoffs where it was like 53-57 or whatever the fuck that score was against Kurt Warner. Aaron Rodgers' official coming out party. So maybe this could be, it's not the playoffs, but I feel good. We're playing at 3:25. If we were playing at noon, I'd definitely be more nervous, but with it being a 3:25 game, you know, it's like less funny? Likely.
Have you heard players talk about like they hate the night games? They hate Monday night. They hate Thursday night. Like they all like the noon games.
They all want noon games so that they can go home.
But the noon games kind of, like, if you look at it, like, as a fan anyway, it feels like the noon games are where you get trapped.
They're more like likely to be trap games for sure. Always. We were saying that going into the Browns game, yeah.
Why is it that way, though? It's like you get closer to primetime and your team typically plays better.
It's just where the sun is above the stadium and where it hits it. That's what it is.
Zodiac signs,
astrology,
maybe?
Yeah, it's all above our pay grade. You know, it's God, it's the universe,
mm-hmm.
It's Buddha. It. Yeah, it's all of those guys.
Mm. Buddha, is Buddha a god?
I actually don't
check
know.
Your knowledge.
Buddha, you know who isn't a god? Buddha Baker. He's just a marginal safety now because he's getting older.
Buddha is. Can't tell. Wikipedia is not telling me right away, so
awesome.
We'll move on.
Okay. With that, Todd, what is your score prediction for this game?
So I'm going to give you Billy's because when I got Billy's, I was unhappy with his numbers because it's going to make mine sound dumb. So he had Green Bay 27-13, so maybe Billy also was eyeing up the pattern of a two in a row, which...
So we.
I was also just for fun gonna hit it.
Todd and I talked about this beforehand. I think before we were recording, the Packers have scored 27 points three times this year, including last week. It was week one, week two. Then we had 2 weeks where we didn't, and then last week we did. So if you follow the pattern, it's two on, two off, two on. So we should score 27 points again.
So Billy's on to it.
Yep,
he knows. He has 21-13.
21-13?
Sorry, 27-13. So I'm just going to go, 27-18.
Wow.
Which has hit twice this year. Yeah. So we're sticking with.
Yeah?
Just for fun. Why not?
It
right?
makes sense when you look at the schedule, but when you work out law of averages, it seems incredibly unlikely.
But 2 of 5 games have ended that way.
True.
And the odds
Very
are really
true.
Good.
Unfortunately, I have the same score as Billy. 27-13. I had it written down already, so I'm not going to change it. Yeah, me and Billy.
This is ridiculous.
Yep. So, Todd, what is yours or Billy's bold prediction?
I'm going to give you Billy's again. So, Billy says 3 turnovers, which, honestly, okay. This year is pretty bold.
It would be more than we've had all season combined. So, that's a lot.
You let me know if this one is bold. This is mine.
Okay.
I'm going to say over 100 yards for Matthew Golden. Is that bold?
I'm going to say that is not bold enough since he nearly did it last week.
Let's go 2 touchdowns for Golden then.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
You don't like that? I can't do 3. That'll never hit.
No, I'm saying it because that's literally what my bold prediction is going to be. It's going to be 2 Matthew Golden touchdowns. Let's see. Cardinals. God, who else could? Who hasn't scored? Who hasn't done much? Who's, you know what? Oh, God.
You could go sweet boy Tucker.
Yeah, with, I know, but I take him too much. I'm going to go Xavier. No. Yeah, fuck it. Xavier McKinney, 2 picks. Fuck it. It's not going to happen. 2 picks. They don't even challenge him, but Kyler Murray's banged up and he's a dumb. I think he's going to test it a little bit more.
Who are their tackles? I'm just wondering if Micah Parsons has the opportunity to have a big day.
They give up quite a few sacks. Like I said, they're bottom third in the league, so there's the potential for that. I was thinking Edgerrin Cooper or Quay Walker, too. You know what? Fuck it. Not X. We're going to do Quay Walker, 2 sacks.
Ooh, Quay. Yeah. Okay, I like it.
Quay Bebe. With that, any more thoughts on that game?
No. I'm excited. I like having these 3:30 games. That's my favorite.
I do.
It might be my favorite time.
Yeah, I go back and forth.
It's just like the right time of the day.
I guess it depends on what's going on because, yeah, if you have like 4 beers during the noon game, the rest of like you need a nap. If you have a few beers during the 3 o'clock game, it's like, okay, I can piggyback this into the rest of my night and then fall asleep.
What happens is like when we get to the late game, if I've had a few beers, then I get sleepy going into the late game. Like because I push my nap off because I'm so excited for the game. And then you get to the, and then you're like groggy going, and you have to like, you get, you know, obviously I'm an elite fan, so I get up for the game. Mm-hmm. Like I elevate, but it's tough, right? It takes more from me, you know, and sometimes I have to just have an extra beer. Right. To then just like boost me a little bit.
I've developed some bad habits this year. I've gone back to the High Life's. So I have a 6-pack ready for me every weekend. I might have 1 to 2 the day before, or maybe I drink all 6 on Sunday. But usually we have some type of alcohol, hard liquor in the kitchen. And depending on how the game's going, if I need to switch it up, I will pour myself a shot and just rip it to change whatever's going on in the game. I haven't had to do that as much lately. I don't know where I was going with this. Oh, what's your like pregame? What do you do game day? I know you have children, so maybe you have less flexibility, but like how do you get up for the game, as you say?
So like if it's a noon game, it's usually nothing. Which I think is why I like the 3:30, because like you said, it's just busy. Like, I'm just like, I just need to get home or do whatever in the morning in time so I can watch the game.
Fair.
But like the 3:30 game, then I'm watching, kind of flipping through, doing split screen, shout out YouTube TV, on the noon games, which is fun. And I like that. Like, that just kind of gets me, like, prepared. But then if it's like a 7 o'clock game, it is like that weird, like go do something in the afternoon because I don't want to. I shouldn't sit around all day and watch football, although it does happen some Sundays and those are great. But it's like, so that's why I like the 3:30 the most, because then if I don't care about the Sunday night game, I can skip that and we can go, you know, do something after that. So I don't know. I feel like I don't really have any like pregame rituals anymore, unfortunately.
I do. I don't really have the rituals besides, well, I always wear whatever I wore the previous week if we won. I did text my buddy Victor, Kyle's brother, who used to be on the podcast, because after the tie, and I know he's superstitious too, I was like, do I wear the same thing as last week? And I did, and it worked. So I will be wearing it again. You know, after the tie, it's like, what do I, don't I? He said, yes. So I did. It worked out. It was after it went through the wash. So maybe that's why, too. We washed off that loss, and we had enough good juju after that. I usually listen to ESPN Milwaukee's pregame stuff, and they'll have, like, Rob Domofsky and Jason Wilde on there for an hour, and then I'll watch the games while that's going on. But, yeah. Football, you got something?
I did look it up. Paris Johnson is their left tackle.
Is he old?
I literally had to, because I'm like, I know who Paris Johnson is.
Right. I feel like he's been in the league for 8 years.
Now that you say that, I am going to look it up, but like, I don't know if he's good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very fair. He must be fine. Whatever. We'll find out.
He's only 24 years old.
Oh, okay. So he hasn't been.
The reason I know him is because he's fairly new to the league.
Did he go to Ohio State? Was he a high round draft pick?
That does sound right. Let me look. Yep. Yep.
Okay. There we go. Saved ourselves there. We're not complete idiots. But with that, everyone's favorite part of the podcast, if you could please leave a 5-star review or rating on Apple or Spotify, that would be very cool. Maybe just tell a friend about the podcast. Come on. We need more downloads. It's very important to us. We need to feel accomplished or something along those lines. You can leave a comment on Spotify. We'll read it on the podcast. You can leave a review on Apple, and we will read it. And if you want a koozie, email us at pmppodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter at pmppod. We did have Michael, who emailed in asking for a koozie. I did not email back to him, but he said, hey, he's been a listener since year one. Can I please get a koozie to rep the brand? And I want to get on Michael here because I say if you want a koozie, you can have one every single fucking week. And this guy has been listening for 7 years, Michael? 7 years? And he didn't think of asking for a koozie until now? Yes, you, of course, can have a koozie. I just wish you would have, you know, reached out to rep the brand sooner. Maybe you didn't. I forgot we already gave you one. But, hey, you're going to get another one. Comments this week. We got...
Can I give you a conspiracy theory?
Okay.
Michael is actually not Michael, and he already ordered one. And then he lost it. And so he's like, well, I can't be like, I lost it. Okay. So I'm going to under a different name, a secret name. So that's my guess.
That's fair. Well, he also commented on Spotify and said, bold prediction for this week is a 50 burger, all gas, no brakes. I believe he said that before the Bengals game.
Love it.
So he was wrong, but maybe we'll see.
If you keep doubling down, eventually you're going to hit.
You'll get your burgers. And I guess we're reading it this week, so maybe we'll get the 50 burger against the Cardinals.
Hey.
And then Ben and Hobart, like I said, he said, who else said dad tax out loud after the INT on the first possession? So
all of us. All of us watching.
Yeah, the dad tax is just taking off. Hopefully no dad tax this week, or if it does, I mean, again, Jordan Love, at least he had it in the first quarter. That's when we wanted, if it's going to happen. But, Todd, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
We talked about Buddha. Buddha is not a god.
Mm.
Buddha is a teacher.
You know who else is a teacher?
I don't know. Who?
Lucas Haversick.
Yeah, substitute, yep.
Did you see that we cut McNamee, the Irish kid who is the international player on the practice squad?
What I don't understand is why do that?
Well,
do you put another international player on the list?
Yes,
then? Who is it?
I think they'll bring someone else in to be the international player, and they're just going to have Lucas be on the practice squad as our emergency kicker the rest of the year. That's what I assume is happening. We didn't talk about this either.
I guess that makes sense.
Our kicker, Lucas, he had previously worked out with Daniel Whelan and our long snapper. So that's the reason why he was brought in to be our kicker, because they had already worked together and had the whole operation down. So when idiots like Michael Rodney are questioning moves that Goody makes, it's like, hey, this might be why. You know, maybe Rodney, you don't know anything, and maybe you're just way too much of a pessimist like we can be at times. But when the rest of the NFL is also kind of iffy, yeah.
There's a lot of people on the beat that are a little too positive. So you got to have Rodney to be like, okay, the middle ground's somewhere in between. Who's the dude with the glasses?
Wes Hodquitz.
No, I like Wes. He is very positive. But who's the dude? Like, anyways, doesn't matter. There's some beat writers out there that are a little too corny, a little too positive about literally everything.
I don't know.
It's not Wildy. It's not Wildy. I might be using beat writer, blogger. Oh, he's not
Peter
a beat
Bukowski,
writer.
Peter Bukowski, yes. That fuckhead. Yeah, no, he is.
But what
not
I'm
a
saying is,
member.
There's certain people that are just like way too positive, and just like I just need.
I hate Bukowski.
Have you ever gone to like a wine tasting and you cleanse your palate in between? I haven't been either, but I imagine that is like what it feels like when I see a Rodney tweet. It's the same thing of like,
Robert,
okay.
I sent you his tweets. He had three of them.
He had three of them
that had the same stat about Lucas, how he was like 4 for 9 on field goals over 40 yards.
He wanted to get that message out.
And he did, but he was wrong because he was just fine. With that, Todd, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay.
No.
A.G. Dillon, you're bad at football. Take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever. You can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah. Cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah. Well, now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here.
Great. I honestly don't remember kindergarten. That was a blur.
Yeah. It was wild.
That was a wild ride. It's probably all the naps.
Yeah.
Daily naps? Can you imagine? Like, what's the purpose of kindergarten?
Basic. You can ask my mom.
I should. Like, what is the curriculum? I literally can't remember. And, like, It's just get kids to read, yeah, right?
It's get kids to read.
Get kids to
get
read.
Get kids to realize what school is and how to act at school, how to open your milk.
I could never teach kindergarten. I would be so frustrated all day.
Yeah.
Like, why can't you guys figure this out? This is so easy.
My mom would always
say, put your shoes on, Jimmy.